Hoi, 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 cheeky monkey.
Hello and welcome to ABW Live. This is the Leicester versus Arsenal show. What a show it was. As you can see, it's a slightly different face in the dugout for today. Today I am also be joined by, first of all, we've got the man who had to get up at, what was it, 8 a.m.?
7 a.m.
7 a.m. Yeah. Sorry, I'm doing you a disservice. 7 a.m. to watch this. Jason Schrader, how are you?
But I feel even worse for our friend, the West Coast part of the U.S. or over in Asia, who are waking up even earlier to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And also joining us, Richard from the previous show as well, Cactus Cash. How's it going?
Not too bad, my man. Yourself?
Not too bad. Are you ready to eat all of your words from the preview show that you did a day ago?
Absolutely. I'm offended that I got up to watch the game at 12 o'clock, let alone 4 a.m. or 6 a.m.
If it makes anybody feel better, I set an alarm for 11 a.m. because that's how much I trusted myself to get up in time. Right, let's go into... let's go to the chat box first because, you know, that's what makes the live shows. People in the chat box. I can see we've got Corey Austin in there, Alonzo Spencer. I think I see Thomas from Norway in there, and 2365100, Matthew Chandler, Pablo Amar, Danny the GFP, if anybody knows who he is. Not really sure I've heard of him. But let's now get into the game. Richard, what do you reckon to the lineup? You know, we saw like Ozil, Monreal, and Rambo all out from that. But again, like Jay said, how did you feel about the team?
When I saw the lineup, when it came through on my phone, I did sigh when I saw it was four at the back and that it seemingly we were going with a flat midfield four. I did sigh and I was like, oh God, because I just thought that we'd get overrun in the centre of the park. You know, Xhaka's not the most mobile of players. And I did. I thought, I don't know, maybe he'll switch it up. Maybe he'll have like a diamond in there or something like that. But yeah, I did. My worst fears kind of like my fears grew when I saw that lineup. I have to admit, I don't think we have the physicality and the mobility to play with just two in midfield. And yeah, it kind of unfortunately came to fruition. My fears came to fruition.
Yeah, it was an absolute shame. Let's get start into the game a bit like this show, if you saw it from behind the scenes. A little bit of a false start. We got the kickoff wrong. Was that just a sign of things to come, Richard?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, start as you mean to go on and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. We managed to get the game underway eventually. Jace, we saw an early yellow card for Maitland-Niles. For his tackle. What did you reckon to that? Because obviously it was going to become more important later in the half.
Obviously, at the time, I thought, okay, you know, okay, you could say that he, you know, pushed him off. You could even say that it wasn't a foul, it was just shoulder to shoulder. I thought it was a foul. Yellow card. Like, what was their eighth minute of the match? Like, certainly it was his first, I mean, it was his first foul. It wasn't like he had, you know, sort of a malicious play that Oliver had a talking with him about. And it was just, yeah, and I think from that point on, we saw that Oliver, and he even, you know, carded a Leicester player just a few minutes later as well. So he definitely wasn't going to allow any sort of, I don't know, wouldn't even roughhouse. I don't know what he was thinking. That's never a card. Mike Dean could be reffing, and he wouldn't give a card for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Richard, what did you make to how we kind of started that first, like, 10, 15 minutes?
I thought we started really scared. Again, like no pressure on the player on the ball. I kind of understood why we were sitting so deep because, you know, they were obviously worried about Vardy's pace in behind us. So I kind of understood that bit, but it was we seemed very, very tentative to get in in the face of the person on the ball. They basically defended very scared. Like they thought that if they got to the player in possession that they knew they were going to get beaten. They were going to get, you know, get passed around or something like that. So there was like a lot of jockeying, and it just set the tone, and they just had too much time on the ball with Leicester. And you can't in this day and age allow players of that quality, because today's modern footballer, everybody's got decent technical and really good technical ability. So you can't be standoffish. You can't be passive. Even the so-called weaker teams are going to hurt you. And unfortunately, that is what we did. I'm not, you know, screaming out for, you know, the whole fabled Sean Dyche passion kind of thing, but you can't allow teams time on the ball, and that's what we did. And it just, you know, I think the first half, they racked up like 300 passes to our like 120 or something stupid like that.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, it was one thing I'd say I kind of enjoyed seeing this kind of approach, because I think this is how we would have got a result against Wolves. We've seen this season we cannot cope with a counter at all. Jace, kind of further in, we started to create a few chances. Leno with a superb save from Maddison. How did you reckon to Leno's first half? It's kind of the first time our back four had really been truly breached.
Of all of the 11/10 players on the pitch that we had today, he was the only one that really covered himself in glory. It's tough to say that when you allow three goals. But, I think, you know, he's the one who kept us in it for as long as we were in it. And if it wasn't for him, you know, I think we, not just this game, but for the season, would be in a much worse spot than we are. I think, like I said, it says it for the first half and for the season, because he's made some magnificent saves for us. You know, I know he wasn't great against Wolves. He's definitely had some slip ups throughout the season, but you know, he's who I voted for on Arsenal.com for our Player of the Year, because I definitely think he's probably single-handedly, you know, kept us in a few matches where we shouldn't have been, and we've probably got some results that we shouldn't have just because of his performances. So, tough to say that he was our best player when he let in three goals, but, you know, majority of the day, I thought he was really up for it and kept it from being what probably could have been 6 or 7-0.
Yeah, absolutely. Richard, continue through this first half. I've got the shot from Iwobi. From that kind of, you know, one of the rare breakaways we had, Aubameyang kind of breaking through the midfield. Mm-hmm. What did you reckon to that kind of chance and opportunity?
I don't want to shit on the players and stuff like that. I didn't for a second was out of my chair. I knew he wasn't going to put his foot through that. I knew he was going to try and pass it through. It was basically a back pass almost. It was, I wish Iwobi was, it's one of the things that Iwobi needs to work on, you know, his first time kind of like snapshots and stuff like that. It was, like I say, it was a good little through ball. I think maybe Aubameyang put it a little bit too far in front of him on his left-hand side, but I still think he should have been doing better with that. But I wasn't out of my seat. I wasn't expecting that to be a goal. And I don't want to shit on Iwobi and shit on the players. I really, really don't. It's not my bag, but it was, you know.
Don't worry, I can. If you want.
Feel free, mate, feel free.
Yeah.
Josh, are you about to shit on Iwobi?
Oh, no. Oh, sorry, listeners. If you got
Of course. Oh, yeah.
It was going to be the man who cannot play a simple pass to a player's strong foot. It was going to be that.
Oh, right. You mean Iwobi?
Oh, well.
Oh, you mean Iwobi?
Yeah, that one. I mean, that pass was so bad that he might as well have 1-2'd it back up.
Iwobi can play a pass. Iwobi can play a pass to somebody strong foot. It's just keepers usually.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was the problem, that, you know, if Aubameyang doesn't run in a straight line and maybe puts a bit of bend on his run, draws the defender out a bit, he's got more space to play that pass into. For Iwobi. And even if he does knock it long, at least then you can kind of create a 1-2 and he can square it back into an open goal. But a minute later, Maitland-Niles. Jace, talk us through Maitland-Niles and his red card.
Again, it was a late challenge. Again, at the foul. Again, it's not even a first yellow card. And over in the US, you know, we had Robbie Earl and Robbie Musto, and both of them said that there was zero way that Arsenal should have been down to 10 men after that. And yeah, I get maybe it's a yellow card because it's a second tackle where he's like a little late or whatever. But there's almost nothing to it. I saw Leicester players coming. There were a couple of different fouls. I forgot who they were on, but it was the exact same type of contact and you know, late contact, not getting there. And Oliver just sort of let it go. Wouldn't call it against the left. It was one of the biggest home field advantage that I've seen a team have against us with a referee a long time. And we've seen some really shit refereeing this year, but just not allowing any contact late from an Arsenal player. But definitely allowed a few elbows, you know, specifically on Torreira to go through. And I have a feeling Oliver's going to go back and watch this and be like, oh yeah, I was probably a bit harsh. Because his first yellow for some continued fouling, but it's not a second yellow. Definitely not. And just extremely disappointing. And I was a bit worried after the first yellow that we could see something like that, but I thought, you know, AMN keep his head, and I thought he did keep his head. We were just sort of done in by credit. We were still losing that game if Maitland-Niles stays on, I think, which is the more unfortunate part. So I'm not trying to put all the blame on the referee here because we were definitely at fault, you know. But at the same time, it definitely changed the dynamic of the game. That foul's never a yellow card, in my opinion, much less a second yellow.
Yeah, Richard, what did you reckon to that second yellow? Because Ainsley Maitland-Niles had only committed, I think, two fouls.
Yeah. I didn't think it was a yellow card. Not every foul is a yellow card. I think the exaggerated kind of scream and yelp and kicking up the legs from VAR, there was minimal contact. They showed it, like I say, at halftime. On TV, there was minimal contact kind of thing, and I think he was just going to let it go and it was going to be fine. But the scream, the yelp, and the protestations of the Leicester players got him a second yellow card. I mean, even the first one, you could say is probably maybe a yellow card because of the cynical nature of it. Even though, again, there wasn't all that much to go on, but definitely not a yellow card for that second one. I thought he was desperately, desperately unlucky. And like, I was a bit annoyed, not annoyed, but like when, because Madison's got previous for this. The guy, you know, didn't he get sent off earlier during the season for like diving, trying to dive for a penalty?
I believe so, yeah.
It's one thing I really dislike about Madison. I think he's a tremendous player. But it's the one thing I don't like about him. Although, you know, saying that, and I'm rambling here, but Torreira does a similar sort of thing for us kind of thing. He's trying to do it all second half. But no, I didn't think it was a yellow card. I thought Niles was very, very unlucky. And I didn't like how like he got Madison got up and then is trying to hug Maitland-Niles like, afterwards. When I would have chinned it. I really wanted him to get by him or something. Because I was like, you've just got this guy sent off. Don't try and be his mate now. It really wound me up.
Hoping he went full Dion Dublin, basically. Right, that takes us, you know, it was 10 minutes of kind of the game had kind of died at that point and was trying to resurrect itself. We kind of came into half time, you know, Mickey gone to right back. Jace, we went in at 0-0. Was that a good thing for us?
I do think it was, because they had a couple of chances there late in the second half, and I think it was Socrates who put the ball out for a corner and sort of said, hey, like, you know, just a minute or two to go here, like, let's hang on, let's still. So, I was pleased because they were the much better team on the day, and for us to be able to go in, playing about, 10 or 11 minutes there with only 10 men and having to put Mkhitaryan at right back, you know, after they'd already been finding space down their left-hand side, even with Maitland-Niles Chilwell was basically almost free range from most Arsenal players down that side, and even had beaten, you know, Maitland-Niles is known for being, you know, pacey enough to be able to hang with most people. He beat him a couple of times on that. So the fact that it was 0-0, I was pleased, but obviously still very worried, because I think, there was one stat that I think we had at one point, we were at 20 passes played through like 29 minutes or something, or vice versa, something like that. Like, completed, just we'd gone in. I think the only player who had a positive passer rating was Lacazette. And just, so yeah, obviously you got to go in thinking down 10 men, only had about 27 possession, and it's, I think we were very fortunate.
Yeah. Huge thank you to Z-Tail, who's just come in with a donation as well. So Shambles should be a good game against Valencia. Well, Z-Tail, at least we've got two opportunities not to screw it up. I think that's the best we can say for those Valencia games. Richard, again, what were your thoughts on the first half?
Just really timid. It was really frustrating for me. I understand what you're saying about the, you know, sitting deep and trying to keep it tight and stuff like that. But I just shuddered at how much time we allowed Leicester on the ball. It really, really, really wound me up. I thought we were lucky, not lucky to go in 0-0, because they didn't really, there was only a few times that they kind of got in behind us. But I just thought it was just really, really ominous. Really, really ominous. So I was, again, if looking at the lineup, my fears were kind of increased. My fears were justified by watching that first half.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go into the second half, let's just dip back into the chat box. Who else is in there? Because there's some great conversations going on at the moment. Got Dan Fry's in there. Obviously, C-Tail, who's dropped in. Dro the Gooner. Thomas from Norway, I've already given you a shout. Neil, I can't say half your guys' surnames. Sorry, I can only apologise. But unlike Danny or Jason, I won't even try. I'll just leave it. Archie, I can do that one. There we go. And also, there's 190. Oh, it's already dropped off by 5. 189 of you watching now, but I've only got 22 likes. Now, I know Jason's not here, so, you know, the bad cop's not here, so everyone thinks they can get away with the soft touch that is Josh. But, yeah, that's probably right, to be fair. That's probably absolutely right. So, just because, you know, I'm not as scary, I'm not as Welsh, at least give us 50 likes. It's going to be better than 22, right? Gotta be.
Tappy.
There we go.
There's still another Jason here. There's still another Jason. You boys better hit that tappy, or we will send Welsh justice after you. I see you.
Yeah.
I see you not hitting that.
Selby.
Hit that tappy. Hit that little bell down there. That way you get notified every time we go live as well. So make sure you subscribe.
Exactly. And if someone can find me a good hashtag for it, because I feel like tappy's already taken. Jason's got that. We need something else. And Stefan, you know, wind your neck in. At least you've got one, unlike Jason.
I was Thomas from Norway. Was it hashtag tap for Josh?
Oh, I don't know if tap for Josh. I think we need to find a better one than that. But good start. Good start for 10, Thomas. Let's keep it going. Likes for gingers, something like that. It's got to be in there. So second half, we saw Iwobi come off and Koscielny come on. And that meant everybody's favourite pantomime villain, Mustafi, going to right back. So, kind of saw a start. My first note is then Harvey Barnes rinses Mustafi, as he was another change that came on. What did you reckon to the kind of change in formation we saw, Richard?
We had a little bit more urgency about us, and we looked a little bit more solid up until it went a bit later in the game. So it kind of almost galvanized us a little bit going down to 10 men and coming out after the halftime. So, yeah, I mean, you know, what can you do? What can you say? I don't know what else to say that I haven't already said about this, you know, this this performance. It was just so... I thought it was still strange having Laka and Aubameyang both up top still. I thought that was still a bit odd. I thought they would have taken off one of those to kind of shore up and protect us a little bit more and have more numbers, you know, in midfield and stuff like that. I was a bit surprised that he didn't take off possibly Lacazette, but, you know.
Okay. That's interesting. Jace, would you have taken off Iwobi for that kind of replacement? Or did you see someone else that was more primed to be taken off?
Well, you'll appreciate this. I saw some people slating Iwobi. I don't think he had the worst game today. I don't think themselves in glory, but he wasn't our worst player on the pitch by any means. I probably would have taken, you know, Mkhitaryan off before I would have taken Iwobi off, because I thought Mkhitaryan was when we did finally take him off, I was like, oh, he's still on. Cool. So I probably would have done that because I think, you know, what Iwobi can provide on the counterattack with his pace and try to take players on, and yeah, they, you know, getting it past the, you know, past taking players on, but at least he's going to try and at least push the ball up the pitch a little bit. It's tough there. I also don't know who, you know, you probably would have brought on Guendouzi. You're going to take Lacazette off. And I think, you know, Emery probably, if I keep my two strikers on, at least, you know, maybe we can catch them on a break, and Laka and Aubameyang have done a decent job throughout the year linking up and, you know, creating some goals together. So maybe that was his thinking there. But I was a bit surprised that we stayed with two up front. I thought we would have at least seen, Aubameyang go to the left-hand side, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, a couple more hashtag suggestions in here. Got hashtag Let's Get Going from Alonzo Spencer and 2365100 hashtag Don't Tap for Josh. Yeah, give us a thumbs down if you want. I don't mind. I'm not bitter.
I think I also just got that completely backwards. By the way, Mkhitaryan did come off at halftime for Koscielny. It wasn't Iwobi.
What? Because he didn't show up in the second half. Is that you doing a funny, Jace?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Mkhitaryan did come off, didn't he?
Yeah, for Guendouzi.
Mkhitaryan came off at halftime.
No. 74th or 75th minute, Guendouzi came on for Mickey. It was Iwobi that came off. Mickey was there, don't worry. Half time. You know, that after 45 minutes.
Okay.
That bit.
Okay. I'm just checking. Okay. We were right there. I'm so confused. I'm so confused by the Arsenal team right now that I just don't even know what players are coming on when.
Go and buy your internet. Your stream probably, you know, it probably did come off at the 70th minute with the stream.
Probably. Yeah.
But what did happen after that? Tielemans did a goal. Oh, Rich, do you want to talk us through that?
Yeah, again, it was too much time on the ball. Like I said, we just sat off, jockeyed. I think was it Albrighton and played it infield to Madison. Tielemans just ghosting in, you know, Xhaka's ball watching, and just ghosts in and gets a header just in front of the 6-yard box. It wasn't massively coming, but again, it was just that lethargic kind of. No one wanting to take ownership, no one wanting to press the ball, no one wanting to be aggressive kind of thing. Let's say just the ball came into Madison. He had all day, all the time in the world to pick his spot, you know, and let's say just, well, you know, saying that, like, Koscielny still could have seen Tielemans running in, but like Xhaka just kind of just ball watches and just doesn't go with the runner at all. Kind of thing, and it was just kind of inevitable, really.
Yeah, Cole misses his header, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's just over his head. It's one of those ones where it's kind of close enough that you think you can get it, but it's not, you're not quite there. And he just took him out of the game kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Jace, what did you reckon to that goal as well? Because I think up until that point, we'd been lucky.
Yeah. I think I put like in one of our WhatsApp groups, I was like, that's the, you know, 1 billionth, 800 or 8 million, you know, 900,076 time that we've allowed that almost exact same goal to be scored, where the player just floats. And it's not, you know, I know everybody's probably wanting to blame, you know, Socrates or Koscielny, but like we've conceded that goal so many different times with so many different center back pairings that it's just, it really is baffling. And, you know, fair enough, good, really good ball. And I thought, you know, from the right-hand side and really good header. The fact seemed to mark that man that floats him is extremely frustrating. And at that point, I think all the fans' heads dropped, but heads dropped as well. And we just couldn't find the composure for the rest of the match after that.
Yes, we started to get a bit more open. You know, one goal down, you generally see it from, you know, sides that we play, I suppose, when we're kind of dictating possession and we give, you know, we score, they kind of come out of their shell a little bit and start attacking.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, Richard, did you think it was like Leicester just started to look, try and pick us off at that point?
Yeah, it was kind of everything that we didn't want to happen with, like, let's say the space in behind with like Vardy and stuff like that. That was then, as we kind of came out a little bit more with, like, sometimes like Torreira, whatever you want to call him, playing really, really high up, which I thought was again somewhat baffling, but it was just leaving ourselves more open. And as we're going forward, and we're so bad at like kind of like scrambling defense. That it was just again. So I don't want to. I start getting angry and swearing and stuff like that. But it was just really, 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 really frustrating. Really, really annoying. I don't know what else to say, like, without going mental and swearing and shouting and calling players names, because I really don't want to do that. But it was just so frustrating from minute one till the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Frustrating kind of performance from us. We did see Torreira getting elbowed in the face in the box. No penalty given. Jace, is that just because of the fact that Torreira seems to roam around at elbow height to everyone else?
Probably. I also don't. I just legitimately don't think any of the officials saw it. They probably saw him go down and thought, oh, he's just fallen over or, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's continued to happen. Poor Torreira took the elbow to the face. He got, I think it was Chaudhry, basically used his chest as a launching platform in the first half. And poor guy already came in with some tape over the one eye. So he's been beat up, and we've seen him, you know, I think it's, you would think that somebody of his height would get the benefit of the doubt when he gets an elbow to the face. But with as tall and lanky as Johnny Evans is, that the elbow is going to be right there. And I think he probably just thought, oh, it's just a tight. It's not actually a foul.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but perhaps it's something we didn't necessarily deserve from our performance this game. Yeah. Again, Leno saving our bacon constantly in this game. We then did see Mkhitaryan come off for Guendouzi, and shortly after, Lacazette come off for Nketiah. What did you reckon to the those two substitutions, Richard, with those two players coming on and what they gave us?
I felt sorry for it in Nketiah. He, like I say, it was kind of not a hopeless cause, but like it was like, what can the guy do? Like I said, we were playing so badly. And like, one of the things I noticed, like a lot of what we were doing today, the amount of balls pumped up, you'd think we'd still had Giroud playing up front. The amount of times we tried to hit it long in the air, and like not even like into the channels for Nketiah, who's got pace, Aubameyang again, who's got pace, not even for them to kind of chase. It was like lofted balls that like hang in the air that Evans and Maguire with his big square giant head was just dealing with all day. And, you know, Guendouzi, bless him, he was erratic as always. I don't think it really did much, to be honest with you. I just think that the shape in the midfield was just all wrong. And I don't think those two substitutions did anything to help, really. Because, I mean, I don't even think how many touches, like, Nketiah actually really had in the game, really, when he came on. What minute did he come in? Come on.
I've got before the 83rd and between the 73rd, because I don't have it written down, basically. That's how I can tell you. It was for more than 10 minutes.
Okay, yeah, it didn't seem to do much. Like I said, Guendouzi was really
79th
erratic.
Minute, by the way. 79th. So not even a big time to like influence the match for such a young player, you know?
Yeah, I feel it was really I kind of there was a bit of me that wanted him to start the game. But yeah, he was, what could he do? Like I said, we were playing that badly. We're down by a man. And it's, you know, fairly late in the game. There was not much he really could have done. So, I you know, you can't really blame the boy.
So, yeah, Jace, one of the things that I think I got certainly frustrated with in this game was the distinct lack of movement up front, which caused the kind of our issues of not being able to clear the ball because there's no one offering up there. Is that something we're going to need to, well, obviously something we're going to need to address in the transfer market in the summer. But is there anything we can do about it now?
There is something we've seen matches where we've had better movement. And then you see matches where, you know, I think at one point Guendouzi like received the ball and there was from Leno and there was the closest people to him were like the center backs and they were like, you know, 50 yards apart basically on, you know, trying to play like as a wide out just in case he was getting closed down and sat there and was like, well, just pass it to me. But they're all being man marked. And I thought that was sort of the story of the game offensively is where there was no movement from anybody up front. Even when we tried to play sort of that slip sort of ball through, it was always so far off target. It was just really, and then, you know, there at that point, I think, you know, the front had been like, well, you're not going to give me the ball anyway. So why should I go anywhere else? Yeah, you could just see the frustration on all the players for one, their teammates not moving, and two, just them, you know, the players themselves. The shock is the Torreira is not treated with themselves for not being able to play the correct ball, and we looked so disfunctional. We looked like a team who was like come out like in our first or second preseason match and just trying to shake the rust, which is really odd because I'm a year when we're, you know, finally picking up our form and trying, you know, everything's starting to click, you know, a little too late. But this year it just seems that, and maybe it's just the, you know, fixture congestion or whatever, but we just looked, nobody looked like they had any energy to give.
Hey, Rich, did you want to say something?
I think we look and we are playing like a team devoid of all confidence and energy.
Yeah.
We look absolutely, you know, shagged out. We look like, you know, the fabled in the red. Which, you know, I know, like, I think we played 8 games in the past month or something opposed to Leicester's 4. But, we look shorn of all confidence. There's no movement ahead of the ball. It's really passive and slow. And the thing is, I would have thought, and again, you've got to give Emery time and stuff like that. But I would have thought that he would have addressed this lack of physicality, this lack of mobility better than what he has. Because we've been for the past 4 or 5 years the worst team without the ball, in my opinion. for a good way. It was like a stick that I used to beat Wenger with all last season and the year before. And I would have hoped that Emery had got to grips with it. He's done it in certain games and we've done it in fits and spurts, but for so long it's really slow and pedestrian at times. Just like I say, and then like, so you've only got like two midfielders in the center of the park and they get the ball and it's like, you know, they can't do anything. There's no passes on. No one's moving. No one's creating any gaps. No one's creating any holes. No one's showing for people. It's really slow. And then by that time, you know, Leicester were just closing down players. And like, you know, especially in like the first half, we struggled to keep the ball. And then we were panicking, giving away some like stupid passes, trying to force stuff that weren't on because we had no other kind of options kind of thing. It was I think I tweeted out earlier and I was like, can this season just end already? I've kind of at the end of my patience with it.
So this comes to a good question we've got from Loki73, which was, when can we question Emery? Because after the last six games, surely it's going to have to start. Jace, is that something we need to start getting on the manager's back about some of these performances?
I mean, you can always question the manager. I think the biggest thing that we all have to remember, I'd say 80% of our fan base didn't think we'd make Champions League this year anyway. And now all of a sudden we need to fire the manager because we're not going to make Champions League with the same squad that hasn't made Champions League the last two seasons previously. We definitely need to call the manager out on when we think he can do better. Absolutely. But do we need to, like, are we talking about trying to like go ahead and get another manager? Like, get out. No, like, let's let him build something here. There's going to be downs. He also went 22 games unbeaten earlier in the season. Right. Yeah. We're having a bad run of form now. We've had some really key injuries in areas where we were short, specifically, you know, to Hector Bellerin. I think we're all seeing just the impact that Aaron Ramsey had on this team over the, you know, really probably since the new year coming in and being probably our best outfield player since in 2019. And so, you've got to understand that this is still going to happen, and it happens to managers who have been in the job for ages, right? And you know, bar a Liverpool and a Manchester City who are just leaps and bounds better than the rest of the league right now. I mean, this is going to happen right now, and the biggest thing that we can do is hope that we continue to address it, you know, in training with our mentality. I think that's a big thing. He's got a mentality. And then two, once we get to the summer, we've got to get the right type of player in here. Technical, intelligent players who can fit into this system and can adapt and change. And we always question the manager, but are we talking about questioning whether he should still be our manager? I think it's way too early. And I would even say, you know, let's wait till this point next season to really see what he can do for us and get a couple more transfer wins under his belt to continue to build this side. So he's gotten everything right this season. No, he's gotten everything wrong this season. No, we've had some really good moments. And for us to, you know, not even a full year into his time at the helm here, we want to get rid of him already, I think shows the fickle nature and the sort of the please me right now that you can, even though everybody goes, if we make, you know, Champions League, that's icing on the cake. And we still have that option, but we can still win a trophy, a European trophy at that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
I completely agree. I would say that you'd have to give him another this time next year.
Yeah.
I think would be maybe the time when you could seriously question him because this isn't his squad yet. Not fully anyway. You know, he came in late in the summer, you know, in a World Cup season, you know, when I think like quite a few players had already been signed anyway. So you can't really say that this is his side. So you can't really get rid of him now. No way.
I think, yeah, it's one of those I can see in the chat box as well. Using the kind of words like stagnated, I think we've plateaued under Emery. But that's the thing, that look at the last three seasons under Wenger. That was some serious rot that we had going on there. We had declined heavily.
And, absolutely.
And there's a difference between stagnation and plateauing. There's a huge difference. Stagnation is done over such a long period of time. And, you know, I've got a massive amount of respect for what Arsene Wenger did for our club and the heights that he took us to and the basically the impossible standards that he set for himself. But right now, like, the bar still has to be so low for Emery. And I think adjusted their expectations up and are now basically holding him to the same standard or two, and then we can't do that as a fan base. Like, we've got to be a little more intelligent, a little more patient, calm. And whether I league under Emery, but I do think we'll improve under him. I think we'll get better under him. Got to give him that time.
Yeah, absolutely. Chatbot,
I was just about to some Rudy saying Rudy, is it Rassos, saying about players' progression this season. I do think that Emery has got players playing a better kind of thing. I think Iwobi is much better than, although he's not great, don't get me wrong, he's better than he was last season. I think Bellerin was way better than he was the season before. You can even say the same as of Big Bob Holden as well. I think Emery is getting better out of the players. But it's just
not the players we expected him or that we wanted to do better. I think that might be one of the things that, you know, we almost expected him to get more out of Mesut Ozil and, you know, our big name players. And because it's maybe the players that aren't necessarily our favourites or the big stars that he's improved the players that were basically squad quality. And to be fair, are still kind of squad quality, just a little bit better. Obviously got Bellerin in there as well, who would be first choice. Chat box, before we go to the last 10 minutes of the game, because I'm trying to put it off because two things happen in it and they both got Jamie Vardy's name against them. we do really need to cover them. If you do have any questions for us, because we'll be coming to that next, just stick a little cue at the beginning of whatever you're going to say.
Can we just cover them as well as maybe our defense did and just sort of breeze past it?
We totally will go past the two Vardy goals very quickly. One thing I do want to go with, a bit like how Emery's trying to get us to do, we're building from the back, and I want to do that with our likes as well. So 50 was the first thing. I see we've got 57 likes. 187 now watching now. 184, it's going downhill. I'll stop. No, I won't. Keep going. Give us some more likes. Let's go for 100 because everybody loves a century and it'll be great if we do that. And it's another reason for me to shout at Danny and say, look how great it is. I will just go into the first goal. So, Richard, do you want to talk us through it? This is, the first Vardy goal.
I didn't see the reactions on Twitter and stuff like that, but I think had Mustafi had misjudged the bounce of the ball and the flight of the ball had Koscielny done, I think, mate, I don't know, I think Twitter and the stuff would have exploded. But it was just, again, it's just such a simple, just a long punt. Like, there was two of them there. They both should have, Socrates and Koscielny should have dealt with it. They, you know, you could make a thing of, you know, one of the players go for the ball, one of the other players go for the man, kind of block him off or do something. But it was just, it's just schoolboy defending, really, isn't it? It's and then they got, you know, he got a bit of luck with it coming off the crossbar and falling nicely to him. But it's seemingly such a preventable goal and such a goal that only seems to be scored against us. But so annoying. I don't know how, like I said, what the Koscielny and Sakai should have been dealing with that. I know Vardy is very quick and that's his game, playing on the shoulder of the last defender and stuff like that. But there was two of them there and that ball travelled a hell of a long way. I personally think they should have dealt with them. I don't know what you think.
Jace, I'll pass it over to Jason. What did you reckon to that goal? Is the banter era back?
I don't know if the banter era... that's the real thing. Route one, just right down the middle, you know, Koscielny tries to go for that, whiffs, and then, I think Richard covered it really well there. It's disappointing anytime you let Jamie Vardy score. I think it was Andrew Allen also who had sort of predicted a Vardy brace. So I blame Andrew Allen over at Ars Blog News for this.
Well, at least it's not Mustafi, right? We can't blame him for that. To answer your question, Rich, just seeing that kind of goal go in, I've just irritated at Koz missing the ball because it's kind of simple. You know, it's a straight ball. You can watch that come in and just take it on your head. It'll be fine. And then what Socrates does to run to the line, I don't know if I expected him to kind of just go for a mindless diving header to try and put something on it. But he just doesn't do anything. You know, even if he went and pulled out a world-class save and then got sent off, I think I would have taken that over than what he just did, which was nothing at all.
Mm.
When he came back, it's just... Yeah, as you say, it's such a simple goal to concede. It's something we could have done so much better. But it turns out we couldn't, because 94th minute came along. And Jace, do you want to talk us through the other Vardy goal? Slightly different, this one. They just cut through us.
Yeah, like a hot knife through air. They cut through our defense, and Guendouzi was a little soft in the challenge to the edge of the box, and players not, center backs not tracking Vardy at all, which was just baffling. And then I forgot who got the assist, but just was able to slide it right over and just a simple tap in for Vardy. And just, want to like this team, and then we give up these little goals like this, and it just really, really pisses me off, because it's probably just the last few games really where we've all gotten this, and it's been exacerbated by, we teased ourselves with the hopes of top four and us playing really well for a bit, and now we're not playing as well. It's like Rich said earlier, I could easily go now, but just like a dad who's told his son for the umpteenth time, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. that's what I'll leave it at there. I'm just beyond angry, and I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yvonne, thank you very much. Yvonne's just coming with a donation. No passion in the men's team. Shameful. Yes, absolutely. I have to say,
at least our women's team won today, though.
Yeah, on the way to winning the league.
Have they won the league now? I thought they had. That was. Have they not? Have they not won the league now?
I believe that is them to win the league.
Oh,
congratulations.
It's obviously so bad for Yvonne. She's going to go back and watch the F1 because, if everything's going really bad, F1 will put you to sleep. it's like NASCAR's slightly more exciting cousin. Right. As I say, that is the kind of the game to it. Harvey Barnes did have a chance as well that he kind of squandered at that point. But should we go into questions, Jace?
Yeah, we shall. And I'll
Jason, are you there?
I'm here.
I feel like we've picked the best person to ask the questions because it's happened exactly at the same time. Jace, I don't want to do this to you. Richard, do you want to ask the questions? Richard, you're on mute.
Okay, there we go. Just
there we go.
Going great. Proper Arsenal performance.
Last 10 minutes of the show and we've performed just like Arsenal.
Jesus Christ. Is that that Cole like Desi IQ? Is that the...
Yeah, that's the start.
Absolutely butchered that. I do apologise. Why do some fans say holding is the key to our shite defence when we were shit when he was fit? The 22-game run had some lucky wins with him included. Josh, do you wanna take that one?
Yeah, that's a really good question, that one. I think it's because the kind of... You could see that combination of him and Socrates really building into a decent partnership. And I think that's been one of the issues with our defence this season, is it's been so chop and change with who's been at the back. You know, with Mustafi being woefully out of form, Socrates really being the only consistent person in there. You know, Bellerin going out injured. Again, the form of and the injuries of Monreal and Kolasinac, that what we saw under Holding was really something that looked like we could build from, because we think nobody expected at the early part of the season that Koscielny was really going to come back and have the impact he's had. I still think for next season, Holding will be a key player to put into our side, because I think we've just got... That's the place where we're going to improve, really. And I think he's one of the key benefactors in that.
I agree. Next question is Philip Bevan Quick. If we get the Europa final, having not got top four, would you rather face a Chelsea side who have already secured the Champions League via the top four and maybe be a little complacent? Jace, do you want to take that one, mate?
Yeah, if everybody can hear me now, I'll definitely take it. It would be great to beat Chelsea there, but I mean, I would love for us to be able to go in. You know, Frankfurt's not the greatest of teams. And while it would be great to beat Chelsea, I actually do think we have a good shot of winning this. But they could be a little complacent. You know, it's also like what, almost 3 full weeks after our last match or something like that. So, hopefully. You know, I sort of like us whoever we play in that, but I would like to play Frankfurt just to not have to play Chelsea. But again, I would still love to beat Chelsea, because beating Chelsea is one of the funnest things we can do, especially to win a trophy.
Yeah, very well said. I don't know if I could take a loss to Chelsea in the cup final, though.
Only if we can have John Terry taking their final penalty.
bring Diaby out, but back for one last game. Right, next question. Oh my goodness, I do apologise way in advance. Mayank Nagendran, I think that's how you spell they pronounce his name. Do you still agree with the transfer business relating to the two strikers last season? Two in, one out. Could we have done it better? Like, say, get Aubameyang in the summer instead of Laka and keeping Giroud. Josh, that one's for you.
Ooh, I'm not sure Aubameyang was available in the summer. If we're talking about last summer, not this summer. Just what was going on at Dortmund at that time, I think he was still seen as a key player in that side until he kind of went on strike and just fell out with everybody at that club. I personally would have liked to have seen Giroud stay. But what you would have to say is what Aubameyang gave to us in that last... Since when he came in the January, really helped us kind of get over the line and kind of fired us in towards the... was he eligible for Europa League? He was, wasn't he?
Who, Aubameyang?
Yeah.
No, not last season.
In which case, I take it back. There was no point signing him. I do think in games like this, we still miss Giroud. I think the way that we kind of played around him was just perfect. And I think Emery could have made more use of him than the two strikers we've got right now. But of course, with the World Cup coming up, he wanted to make sure he was in form to not score a single goal, but still lift that trophy.
Is he like the Jenkinson of their World Cup squad?
Oh, he is the official water carrier. of that.
That's not true. He had great.
I'm just playing.
You guys can't hate on my man Giroud. I still love that man. Looks
ugly. I still miss Giroud. It's
ugly as hell in blue, but I still love him.
Jace goes to bed in Giroud pajamas. That's all I'm saying.
I really do.
Right, next question from Richard Garrett. Great name. On a more positive note, who would you rather sign today? Our keeper or United's?
Our keeper. Yeah, I think I was – I've said this on here before as well, and at the beginning of the year, I really was worried about Leno. You know, bring in a keeper for – you know, I forgot exactly what we signed him for to challenge Cech, and Cech gets the start right away, and it's not working out with the distribution and playing out of the back. And you know, there were rumors coming out of the training ground that Leno just wasn't up to, you know, the shot stopping ability that we needed. And I was really concerned with it. I was like, you know, how have we spent so much money on this keeper? We're not even going to play him, and now it seems like, you know, Emery doesn't even like him. But then he gets his chance, and he really made it hard for Check to come back into the side in the league. And I think we've seen really what we bought him for. He completely turned my opinion of him around. And, you know, yeah, he's made some mistakes. But you know who else makes mistakes is the number one rated goalkeeper in the world, Manuel Neuer. That's called going full Neuer for a reason. So goalkeepers are going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. We're going to have to live with that as fans because, well, you know, goalkeepers are human. They're not superhuman, even the best ones. And so I think he's done, you know, while, yeah, the Wolves game, he was bad. He's had enough good matches this season to make up for that. And I'm really, really happy that he's our keeper. And I look forward to him sort of holding our back line for years to come.
Cool. Okay. Next question. Josh from Marble Halls TV. Is it time to become Ajax fans in the coming days? Or if Spurs beat them, to go bullying for Salah and Messi?
I am absolutely asking everybody not to support Ajax because this fan base is cursed. We all tried to support the team before Spurs played and they got through. You know, we were all Man City fans for that. Look what happened. Especially John Welsh. I'm looking at John Welsh especially for this because he was like, let's all support Ajax. No, we're cursed. Don't do it. Just be quiet. Watch it happen. And then we'll say we're Ajax fans and we can be smug.
Yeah, what? I definitely feel it's good, better to be smug after the event rather than before.
Can we have John just stop supporting Arsenal for the rest of the season maybe? Maybe that's our case, is he's just completely joned us. And just Mr. Welsh, just please don't watch any more Arsenal the rest of the year and we'll be fine. Thank you. That's all I have to say on that.
Next question from Michael Hernandez. Are we as a fan base projecting our frustration that a lot of us had with Wenger onto Unai? Jace, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I will take it. I think yes. Again, I think part of it is the fact that we have also had some really, really good matches this season, some really good wins, and it's sort of maybe boosted our expectations, and that's led us to be a little less forgiving with the new manager. So I think it's a combination of us still seeing the same mistakes happen under a new manager, and you know that sort of. That PTSD welling up in us again, and just substituting, you know, the Wenger out for fuck's sake, Emery, what are you doing? At the same time, like I said, we've allowed ourselves to create some false expectations, I think, when we've done really well that have led us to not give him the rope that he needs. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. And we just got to continue to be hashtag patient.
You're asking far too much for that. right. this is like kind of two people's. I'm going to put them together kind of thing. So the Carl's mount, sorry. So Drogon. Why is everyone acting like Iwobi is still young and going to get good? He is a headless chicken. And also, like, to go along with that question, Richard Garrett has come out and said, Iwobi, loan for next season? Josh, what do you reckon, man?
I don't know. Is 22 young for a footballer? I think it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Iwobi is young. He's obviously he's not like 18, like is it Salah that we saw or Saka? Salah, Saka. I can't remember. It's been so long since he made that cameo appearance. I've even forgotten what his name is.
I think Saka
and Amici that we've got in the youth academy that are doing really well, but I think it's one of those that he is getting better. He's on the up. So we could send him out on loan, but who are we going to replace him with? Because I wouldn't put my trust in a younger player, basically. I think as a squad player, I think we can keep him in there. I think the biggest problem is that, as Thomas from Norway said, he's one of the first names on the team sheet. That's the problem. He shouldn't be that at the moment. We should have him as a squad player, and we should get someone in to replace him. But that is unfortunately the problem we've got at the moment. So I wouldn't send him out on loan. I still think Reece Nelson and Smith Rowe need loans next season, like full season loans again. I think what Nelson's done is great, but we need to see him do it for a couple of seasons, because that's one of the things that we're having a go at players for being inconsistent, and then we want a player to come in who hasn't shown consistency yet in his career at the top level. And I think just that little bit, again, what Jay said about patience. If Nelson has exactly the same season that he does, or even better, and grows on it at the in the Bundesliga, great. What we've now got is a consistent young player. And I think that's where we need to kind of look at it. And maybe Iwobi takes one for the team. And he's just that body we have whilst we're developing these younger players, and they're just going to come in over the top of him. And great. I'd love to see Nelson do that. I'd love to see Smith Rowe do that. But at the moment, it's not their time in the squad. And I think that's where it is. We've got bigger fish to fry over players that need to go out from the club in those kind of positions. Mkhitaryan versus Iwobi. I think there's only one winner really there, especially as one of them's homegrown for us. So I think that's where we should be looking, rather than necessarily using that lightning rod that is Iwobi.
On this as well, the fact that we don't think that Iwobi is young is the fact that he's been in and around the first team for 5 years now. Like he made his debut for us at 17. Like that, just because you've been around for 5 years doesn't mean you're still not young and you still don't have a lot to grow and develop on. So. Yeah, let's just keep our heads about it. Like, yeah, he has his moments where he has brain farts, but he is still a young player, and he still has, I think, a little bit to grow. I don't know if he'll ever turn into the finisher we want him to be, but I definitely think he's gotten a lot better with his ball retention this season, and he's been that catalyst. And even today, he was still that guy trying to push us forward and carry the ball forward to get us out of those dangerous spots. And did it always work? No. Did it work sometimes? Yes, it did. We do need that in our squad.
Yeah, I think on that, it will be, you know, kind of like there hasn't been a good player come through our youth academy, really, and settle in our squad in those kind of forward positions for at least the last 6 years of Wenger's reign. And he was a manager that was lauded for his ability to bring through young players and to nurture attacking talent. And he hadn't managed to do it. Iwobi is the only player that had come through. So it's interesting to kind of see either the standard of our youth academy is now getting better and what we can kind of do with those players. But I think it's the other players need to go out on loan, and we just have to suck it up. And we've got this player in our squad. And yeah, we just want to hope that we do bring players in over the top, but there's not many players that we see from our academy that could do a job for us.
Yeah, I completely and utterly agree. Completely agree. Right, so the last question I've got here from Philip Bevan again. With so many key positions needing attention over the summer, would you agree that central midfield recruitment is just as vital as centre back? JCA, what's your thoughts on that one, man?
I think when we have the right system in place, our midfield actually is okay. If we put enough in there, I think we do look better with three in midfield, and, you know, whether it be like a Shaka, Torreira, and Ramsey, or even Ozla times as his looks really good in a three there. So I'm not, while it's not highest on my priority list, center back definitely is, just due to the fact that what we would consider our two best center backs are both 30 plus right now. One of them's coming off of a massive, almost year long injury, and he's been playing a lot of football. You know, there were the things coming out, you know, before he came back that Emery had said he was sort of surplus to requirements. It would be we weren't going to renew his contract. He'd be allowed to go in the summer. So I definitely think that's where we need to address first. The thing is if we do get into Champions League, we still need midfield, another midfield player, just due to the fact of, and they've got to be a good quality as well, just due to the amount of games that we're going to be playing, just like we've seen this year. And injuries and depth have been an issue. And we're going to need that. So I do think, yeah, it would be good to bring another midfield player in. At the same time, though, center back and defense is key for us and needs to be addressed first.
Cool. Yeah, I think they're I think kind of just as vital as each other, because I think whatever combination of defenders we have in front of the behind the midfield, they're all having the same pressures and mistakes happening, kind of thing. And I think a lot of it is to do with the mobility and physicality of the guys in front of the defenders. So I think they're vitally important. What about you, Josh? Which would you prioritize, midfield or defense?
Oh, good question. I think, can we prioritize both?
Yeah, that's what I would like. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of place we really need to look at, because we've got problems. Well, we've got Aaron Ramsey leaving, so that's a key midfield position, or at least we need to replace someone in the center of midfield. We need to replace someone on the wing. We need to look at the defense. It's quite an issue, to be honest. I wouldn't necessarily look at center back if we're gonna have to prioritize. I'd rather look at left back. I think that's a bigger cause of concern than the rest of it. We've got Callum Chambers coming back in. We've got
He's a midfielder now at full now.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
Well, he can't play defense. He's a midfielder now.
We can see what we're doing. We can bring him back in. We've got Rob Holding coming back from injury. Maybe Koscielny can do another year on half an Achilles tendon. That would be okay. At least get us through kind of early rounds. We've got Plegge. I'm not sure if he's still going to be around. He could certainly get us through the earlier rounds of the Europa League in defence. I think we do have the options there. Mavropanos, again. I think
Zach Medley as well.
Zach Medley. We do have a lot of talent coming through, but I think the left back is the bigger cause for concern. Also right back as well, to be honest. We need a better backup for Bellerin, because what we, at least we've seen from this season, which is a good thing to highlight, is how little, how poor the depth is at right back. I don't think Maitland-Niles is the solution to that problem. It would be nice to get a dedicated right back in and allow us to play Maitland-Niles higher up the field, because that could get us around some of these issues. But what did you think as well, Rich, to ask you before I take it back and we...
I do kind of agree with you. I think Monreal, I've been quite alarmed at his decline. I know he's been injured for a long part of this season, but I've been quite alarmed by his physical decline. And I think Kolasinac, really struggles as part of a back four. He's only really effective in a back three kind of thing as a wing back. And there doesn't seem to be lots coming through. I mean, I don't follow the youth team exclusively kind of thing, but I've not heard of many right back or left backs kind of coming through. Whereas suppose like with centre backs, like you said, we've got Medley, you've got Julio, unpronounceable, Mavropanos, and isn't there a young Northern Irish defender who's just been
Ballard? Ballard, I think, is that one.
And like you said, you've got Chambers coming back possibly as well. I think the midfield kind of alarms me. I think we need to, as much as it pains me, my Egyptian brother, it's almost like a wasted squad place with El Neni. I think we need more physicality and more a more robust midfield. So I would say the midfield is a big priority. I would go midfield and then work my way backwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I think that was the game. Oh God, what a game for Leicester City fans. And I've seen we have been joined by one in the chat box. You've done well. One day, actually, no, I won't even be bitter about financial fair play and the time they won the league, because you know what? It was a great story, but whatever, financial fair play. I'd just like to thank the two guests for today. First of all, Jason, thank you very much for being here.
Yes, Josh. Hopefully get to play some pro clubs with you after this.
Yeah, I've noticed that my phone has mostly been asked for that to be my request. Yep. And Richard, thank you as well for doing like the double header, doing the preview and the post-game show.
No worries. Thanks for having me. And thank you for hosting.
It's been great. Thank you very much. Chat box, as always, you have been superb. And of course, to Zetail and Yvonne for their donations. I've got 76 likes, 135 of you watching. Just saying, seems a bit of a disparity, but I'm going to go and we're going to go. Thank you so much for watching. And of course, for those of you that aren't watching the live show and are listening on iTunes or on SoundCloud or on YouTube, where you could then like this posthumously, that would be amazing. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday, I believe, with a podcast. I can't tell you who's on it because I don't think it's been decided. And then we'll be on for Valencia as well. Again, can't remember who's on. Not sure it's been decided. Thank you so much again. And let's turn this shit off.